The word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing in the center of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, it's a critic of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Continue in the doctrine of happiness or joy, where we'll pick up page 3 of our notes. All right, part of the happiness package that comes for the believer in time that's adjusted to Bible doctrine is the apprehension of that very doctrine. And this is made possible through the filling ministry of God the Holy Spirit, undistorted by the sin nature, whereas the believer priest then perceives it clearly, purely, as so designed with all the spiritual import that is designed and embedded in regards to God's Word in this respect. It obviously possesses historical facts, prophecy, things of this nature, but it also possesses spiritual realities that's intertwined, saturates the Bible. The reason why a lot of people miss the spiritual aspects is because they are not willing to approach doctrine under the filling of God, the Holy Spirit. They seek to do it through simply academia and the brain computer, the natural man, which those things the Bible clearly teaches us, does not understand those things of God otherwise in that respect. So we once again, to profit from the study this evening at hand, we'll give you opportunity to rebound if necessary as we start with a normal word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you for the revelation of it. To those who are seekers of you, who are willing to align themselves regards to your will in the matters, and that you do bless us with all these things that provides for us the greatest of blessings for all eternity in this vein. We ask once again this evening that God the Holy Spirit will enlighten us to truth in the matters at hand. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, the doctrine of happiness or joy, as they are essentially synonymous, that we're dealing with is not the normal avenue of happiness, as a cosmos might think, but is indeed totally superior to that happiness. This happiness, which we place a plus in front of it, is a happiness that is derived from God. It is a byproduct, a filling of God, the Holy Spirit, the understanding, assimilation of Bible doctrine, and application of it. It is happiness that remains absolute and cannot be diminished, if you will, in regards to circumstances and situations of life, the physical things of life. Otherwise, no matter how may oppressive or bad they may seem to be in that vein, it is a happiness that obviously is only available to believers. And this happiness begins in the salvation adjustment to the justice of God in regards to the individual who becomes a believer, recognizing that there is no eternal condemnation that now rests upon them. It is indeed an inner comfort, peace, contentment, joy that one would experience within the soul in their faith in the person of Jesus Christ for their so great salvation. So that opens the doors then for plus H, inner happiness, inner joy, to then be experienced and exploited to its maximum. And that includes one's experience, the Christian experience, and hence a phase 2 happiness that is part, to be part of the believer's way of life and pursuit in this regards. And it is not simply an option that if you feel happy, then that's what it's all about, but it is actually commanded of believers in time. It is commanded as is to be pursued, found in our relationship with God and orientation to Bible doctrine. So it is something that God definitely wants us to have and to possess. It is an asset that is invaluable to us when we are facing those things in life that are otherwise very oppressive, often much suffering physically, emotionally, and otherwise in regards to our life, to be able to appeal to an inner joy and happiness to help us offset any lupe or sorrow one may feel as an emotion otherwise in disrespect. And it is a normal function of the adjusted believer to possess this happiness and to apply it as necessary in regards to their Christian life. And this happiness, as we understand it, is indeed a byproduct of God the Holy Spirit. It is part of the fruits, the many fruits that He produces within the believer that is matriculating spiritually in regards to their Christian lives, as we so see in the list in Galatians 5:22. Just pick up point D, Roman numeral 5 of our notes. It comes as a result of knowing and applying Bible doctrine. So all these ingredients are part of the availability to not only possess, but to experience inner happiness, inner joy, to have the knowledge, to seek it and then find it brings joy to our hearts, and to apply it in our applications of daily life brings about a sense of contentment and happiness and joy as we recognize by so doing we find favor in God's eyes, fulfilling His plan for our life. So E plus H is therefore an expression of the believer that is operating in the sphere of divine love. To apply doctrine towards others as well as regards to our Christian life is a form of expression of happiness, even though it may be communicated on the surface in a most serious fashion. Yet it produces this happiness, this joy within, as one might experience in regards to just the enjoyment of knowing you have a camaraderie of like-minded believers that are also facing their tests in life, that are seeking to overcome certain aspects in life, fulfilling God's plan in that vein. And there truly is a joy and contentment of the brotherhood, if you will. This is obviously promoted even within social circles, military circles, etc., for this type of camaraderie to exist. So divine love obviously looks at application of doctrine in fellowship, and to love one another is of the highest imperative, and in so doing we spread the joy and happiness of God to others, if you will, or stimulate it in others in that vein. So F, the inner happiness that comes from the Lord, is part of His logistical support for the believer in time. God provides for us all that we need in order to deal with and handle our testing, and plus H is part of that. It's part of that divine operating assets that He gives us in this respect. And obviously, as we face our tests in life, it is stupid not to utilize all that God gives us as advantage in regard to handling these tests. But too often, the believer gets wrapped up in their own emotions, their own STA, and rather than able to help themselves in terms of inner happiness as a support to them in regards to handling their tests, they run under soul misery and other types of oppressive and depressive forms of existence emotionally in this respect. Now remember, happiness is an emotion, just like anger is an emotion. And there is an emotional aspect of the soul. It may not be expressed overtly, but within. It is indeed an experience often hard to communicate to others otherwise. So G, blessing and plus H, is a lot of the believer that pursues peace and time. Obviously, anytime we're blessed, we experience joy or happiness. That's at least the normal reaction to it. And for those who tend to be peacemakers rather than troublemakers in life, who seek to extend the blessing of what it means to have a relationship with God to others, they have within themselves this inner joy of simply knowing this is what's right, this is what's best for others in regards to our relationships. And again, a peace is not always possible. It takes two parties to in agreement to establish a peace accord. But this does not diminish the importance of us in our witness to try to be peacemakers when it's all possible. In fact, we are to seek peace with all men, whether it's on the job, at school, etc. Doesn't mean that you call them buddy-buddy and hobnob with them in the cosmos, as reversionists or otherwise. But it means that you obviously are first and foremost civil. You show a little class when you're dealing with other people. And if opportunity arises, you have opportunity to witness in regards to the truth. You provide that witness. Sometimes that witness is silent. It's simply in regards to one's own integrity and ethical approach in regards to their job, and people, other people notice in that vein. And then the door sometimes is opened as they may learn of your lifestyle and what's important in regards to your life. H plus H is not contingent upon pleasant circumstances, but is available in the midst of affliction and pressure. Again, this is where divine happiness, happiness from God, differs greatly, and if not completely often, in regards to the happiness that the cosmos pursues. And even in the midst of severe testing and persecution and time, believers find plus H, find joy within. It's just one of those things that doctrine does to the soul in an act of refreshing us. In maintaining emotional stability in life, in our thinking and balance in regards to life. So where we left off from Sunday, divine discipline is one factor that God employs in order to increase our plus age. Just as a normal parent wants the best for their children, they want their children to be happy, have a satisfying life, to meet their needs, etc. But in order for that to occur at the highest level, often it takes discipline, adjustment in regards to the child's life to help them recognize maybe an error of their path or way of life that they are taking that will otherwise bring constant misery. And that it is no difference in regards to the spiritual life of the believer. As God is our Father, our spiritual Father, our Heavenly Father in this respect, and just as a normal parent disciplines their children in that vein, so does God discipline His children. Job 5:17 and following. Part of justice is intervening on behalf of another to help them correct something that's going to be otherwise disastrous in their life, or hurt them, or harm them. A normal parent or person wouldn't do what's necessary to save a child trying to cross a busy freeway or something during rush hour if they saw that happening, at the cost of their life, as they seek to wander out there, even at the risk of their own life, to do so. But when it comes to spiritual realities and spiritual dangers, how many believers just lay back and will not do anything in regards to those that they otherwise have opportunity? Obviously, we're not saying to be a meddler or anything of that nature. They have opportunity, they're in their position, rightful position or place, to interject a critique, a healthy critique in regards to an individual's error of their way in life, to help them bring about a more satisfactory and life of contentment. And so it is with God in regards to us and our existence. And Job recognizes this completely. Verse 17, "Behold, how happy is the man whom God reproves." Now, the happiness, the experience of happiness may not necessarily be occurring when he's reproving you any more than the happiness of the child when he's getting his butt beat. See? Now, it hurts. But the ultimate outcome for the one who will adjust to it. Not every kid's going to adjust. There are some kids that are obstinate, they're stubborn, they're negative as a fist post sometimes. And their STA, they just will not overrule it. And no matter how much discipline you can put upon their little bodies growing up, they'll still end up being total screw-ups in life. Well, that's just the nature of volition. But in the normal path of life, under normal circumstances, it produces a happiness in the child. It sends a message to the child, in spite of what the society, our cosmos, our society will try to tell you. It sends a message to the child that the parent loves them. Our society does completely reverse. The parent hates the child. No, it's a message, "I love you. You're going to hurt yourself if you keep going down this path. You're going to wreck yourself spiritually." See? Or whatever malfeasance they may be involved in. No, it's a message that you love your child. It's a message from God when He gives us divine discipline that He loves us. He cares about us. And that being the case, verse 17b, "So do not despise the discipline of the Almighty." Don't disdain it. Don't look down upon it. It is a good thing. It helps us when we can't help ourselves. It gives us that little edge sometimes to get over a spiritual hump that otherwise may be catastrophic if left unchecked in our lives. 18, "For He inflicts pain and gives relief." Yeah, it hurts for a while, but He'll comfort after the fact, especially for the one who will orient to it. If you don't orient, He may put the screws down a little bit tighter next time. See, that's the way that goes. He wounds, and His hands also heal. Looking at the power of God to intervene in circumstances and situations of life to bring about encouragement, comfort, in spite of those sorrowful or painful times we may experience in life, even from divine disciplines. From six troubles, verse 19, "He will deliver you. Even in seven, evil will not touch you." His divine discipline sometimes is of such nature, it stops a believer right in their tracks, in an avenue that they're going. How do I know this? I've been there, done that. Hit a believer so hard I am going the wrong direction here. I need to stop. I need to reconsider, et cetera, et cetera. And no telling how much other trouble that one would get into if they were allowed to go again, as I say, unchecked by God in that respect. And here He puts a number of six troubles. "He will deliver you." How many times He may take to intervene on behalf of positive volition. Even in seven, evil will not touch you. And then as it comes about, even when one is involved maybe in a nation is under the five cycles of discipline from God for national disobedience, God still takes care of the positive believer. In famine, He will redeem you from death. And in war, from the power of the sword. Again, it's our understanding of the Scriptures, at least mine, that God will intervene on behalf of positive volition and do whatever is necessary for them to be able to fulfill His plan for their life. If He does not give them opportunity, positive believer, an opportunity to do so, then there is no real justice. See? He obviously gives the unbeliever opportunity to do so. "You will be hidden from the scourge of the tongue. God has a way of changing the attention that maybe one may come down on one, even for divine discipline, for some act of disobedience in their own life, and place that attention elsewhere. And where, as everybody else was bad-mouthing you for your sin or whatever, then all of a sudden that changes, see. And he can place the attention otherwise. God's not limited in regard to how he can act on, interact on our behalf. Neither will you be afraid of violence when it comes. Sin fear. Because, obviously, you have been trained with the well-rounded discipline of Bible doctrine in God's hand in your life to help you faith rest and overcome sin fear, even in terms of violence. You will laugh at violence and famine. Neither will you be afraid of wild beasts at one with nature. For you will be in league with the stones of the field. The geography, you're acclimated to your niche, the environment around you. See, your happiness doesn't depend on these things, whether it's cold today or warm tomorrow. See. And the beast of the field will be at peace with you. And you will know that your tent is secure, that God's protective hand rests upon you. Again, it doesn't mean that you may not be tested on occasion, but in regards to ultimate protection, to secure your eternal future, the availability and the ability to maximize in that respect. For you will visit your abode and fear no loss. Now, obviously, we use common sense in regards to things. If you can afford to have a security system on your home, by all means, get one. If you can't, well, you don't have to flip out and worry about over things. You pray about it, see, and ask God to protect you. If you have to sign up with the mafia and give you a little property insurance, you do it, you know. You will know also that your descendants will be many, and your offspring as the grass of the earth. And you will come to the grave in full vigor. That is a life that is lived in its fullness. And when the end of life comes, it's not like necessarily that you had to fight it every step of the way physically. God's with you. He blesses your health. Obviously, we have health tests. And we may have conditions in which our health test puts us in. But he still can bless that. And you look around, and the blessing that comes upon those who are adjusted, even with physical maladies that are copied in the world, and you see the misery of others who are in the same situation. And the limitations often that surpass the capabilities that God gives others. The very emotional satisfaction and comfort that one gets from hearing Bible doctrine. Because God put you in that periphery. See? He read your soul. Like stacking the grain in the season. It accumulates over time. It's like a savings account. Behold this, we have investigated it. Thus it is. Hear it and know for yourself. He speaks as a man with experience. See? Etc. As Job, Psalm 94, 12-13. Blessed is the man whom you do chasten, O Lord. Psalm 94, 12. When I had to use the belt on my kid, I had a belt from Russia. I always like to say, well, taste the sting of communism. Here it comes. Well, here's one for your child. If you have to give him a spanking, I look him square in the eye and say, I'm getting ready to bless you. Blessed are you. Quack, quack, quack. blessing. Blessed is the man whom you do chasten, O Lord, to correct in whatever form or fashion necessary, and do teach out of your law. The correction comes from the truth of Bible doctrine. That is seen as being the most important thing in the act of chastening. See, that you may grant him relief from the days of adversity. If you don't correct in a timely way in regards to children, etc., then it's going to have far-reaching ramifications that are not desirable. They let them keep on running under their STA, etc. Let them keep on hobnobbing with the cosmos and having that experience because you don't accept the doctrine of separation for whatever reason. Well, it's going to have a far-reaching impact. Pick your doctrine until pit is dug for the wicked. As God draws in the wicked and captures them within their very actions of evil and calls them to task one way or the other. In Hebrews 12:11. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful. It just seems that way. But sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterward it yields a peaceful fruit of righteousness. The very principle that I've been expounding upon. After the fact, it will have a great benefit for the individual who will orient to it, who will take it to heart. He'll be intellectually honest. That means they're willing to, yeah, I was wrong. See. So divine discipline comes into play to advance our plus H and to help maximize in regards to our Christian life. So J, the maturity adjustment to the justice of God produces plus H and is a factor in the physical health of believers. You may think, well, I'm not that healthy to begin with. Well, you might want to think, what would I be like if God wasn't for me? If I wasn't oriented to doctrine, what would my life be like? Proverbs 3:8. The gift of wisdom. The salary it pays you with in terms of reward, both time as well as eternity, to pursue the teaching. My son, verse 1, do not forget my teaching, literally Torah, the law, as within the law has all the spiritual parallels embedded and associated with it to teach the realm of doctrine. But let your heart keep my commandments, as the adjusted father would exhort and teach their child. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. 3, do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Wear the doctrine with sanctified pride in a way that obviously is not ostentatious, but it is noticeable by anyone who will take a look and want to give it any attention. Write them on the tablet of your heart. verse 4, so you'll find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Doctrine not only teaches us the spiritual important things of spiritually, but it teaches the important and necessary things as it might be in regards to living our life civilly in society and with others. How to do a good job. The Bible teaches you how to do a good job. It says you're not a pleaser of men. You don't get around your boss just as a form of pleasing his eye. You do your work unto the Lord. And that means that one has good work ethics, good morals. See, and they're a hard worker, things of this nature. They're on time when they're supposed to be. Whatever else you want to put in there. It teaches you how to get along with others, how to address certain circumstances and situations, good and bad. And in so doing, you will have respect from others. Good favor does not mean that necessarily they're going to be patting you on the back when it calls you their closest buddy, but they will respect you for what you are. And most importantly, in the sight of God, he reads it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, verse 5. And obviously, this demands that you faith rest. To take these principles that you've learned from the Bible and say, yeah, they are true. In fact, they're not only just as true, they are more true than even those things I learned in school. People poo-haw, drawing information from the Bible for our lives. Where are they getting their information from? Who wrote their textbook? Two faggots and a queen somewhere across the country? You never know anymore. See, some communist, some atheist, with all their theories. At least my book has tenure. It's one of the most longest living complete books you can find in history. If I was a little rough there, I'm not going to apologize, but my plus H is coming out. I'm laughing within. You got to understand, their whole part of their agenda, their itinerary, is to shut us up. They would love nothing better than to shut the mouth of this communicator in this local church. Who's those? The fags and the queens. Because we proclaim the truth of Bible doctrine in regards to their activities and their lifestyle. It's an abomination. It's sick. It's abnormal. You better be glad that I'm willing to speak out, because your kid's not going to hear that at school anymore, probably. Unless it's from another schoolmate that happens to be a fundamentalist Christian too, or something like that. Because even unbelievers will see how ludicrous this is. Who would ever thought, that our nation would be where it's at today, and other nations would be where they're at? It's like it's almost completely reversed. In terms of morality and even biblical standards. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding, verse 5. You look to doctrine to give you your mode of thinking, to give you your perception. And you look to God to continue to enlighten you in your endeavors to seek the truth of His Word in this matter, in all matters. And you're not willing to rely on your personal IQ. whether it's 150 or 130 or higher. You lean on God. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. It's more than just simply giving God lip service and credit in regards to things. Why give God the credit for winning this race today and $100,000 come down my pocket? Lip service. Where's their pursuit of God? Show me the evidence of them putting God first in their life truly. It's just another form of Christian rubbing the Buddha's belly. Most of these sports, popular sports figures are, who are, I'm not saying they're not Christians. They are. But they're the kind of people that give Christianity a black eye in the true form of biblical Christianity. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. All the exhortations, the ideas that I can come up with, even from the pulpit, I'm here to tell you, it comes from the examples that's given to me in the Bible. That's what I'm drawn off of. And then I may relate them to personal experiences, etc., etc. But I know the stupidity and the ignorance of being wise in my own eyes, of getting under arrogance. People always think they know more or they know better. In spite of the fact that Bible doctrine may clearly state a position one way or the other in contradictory terms towards their thinking. No. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. If you're not doing it, it's time to apply the doctrine of separation at the level so intended in the Scriptures. To turn away from evil. See? It will be healing to your body. Here's our verse. You will find a physical benefit in regards to your orientation to Bible doctrine along these terms. In spite of whatever health tests we may experience along the way otherwise, it will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. I can't tell you how many times I've walked up to the pulpit and I've had some physical discomfort of some sort and walked away and it's like it was never there. Are you going to explain it to me? Yeah. Am I mystic? Kind of. You go, wow, that's kind of cool. Proverbs 15:13. A joyful heart makes a cheerful face, and when the heart is sad, the spirit is broken. Broken spirit leads to an emotional depression. Obviously, we all experience things that may give us lupe to whatever degree. But you can't dwell on it. The healthy individual will not continually dwell on it. That's abnormal. You've got to move on. The longer you wait to move on, the more you're going to miss out in regards to finding renewed stability in regards to your life. Yeah, but it'll raise up its ugly head still on occasion. We understand that. But you've got to learn to start looking at doctrine according to what you call yourself in a positive light. I'm positive. Okay. Let's see some positive volition then. In orientation and acclimation in regards to God's will for your life, etc., etc. See? Proverbs 16:24. Pleasant words are a honeycomb. pleasant words there. Obviously, we understand nice, gentle words, encouraging, no matter what level they may come from. But here, obviously, the emphasis is the truth of doctrine. Being pleasant is soothing. And they're like a honeycomb. All the words put together is like a large honeycomb in which you get to relish in the sweetness of the nectar that it produces. All the work from all those bees. Sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Long been known the medicinal advantage of honey. Like as it relates to allergies sometimes, because they pick up the certain types of plants, etc., that are common where one may live, and it helps build up immunity to allergies. It's just one of the little things. One of the smartest things I ever did was get off refined sugar and substitute it with honey, with almost all that I do anymore. Even take a shower in. Just kidding. That'd be a sticky one. Sixteen twenty-four, 17:22. A joyful heart is good medicine. Here, take this upper. Here, take this downer. Here, take this psychotropic drug here and trip out. Won't you try a joyful heart? Won't you try embracing Bible doctrine and making that your prescription in regards to your times of need and your emotional meltdowns and other things that may try to get the best of you in life? Prayer, obviously, is essential to having a joyful heart. And it is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. It can have actually adverse effects in regards to one's health, presence of well-being. You may be handicapped in certain areas of life, but you can still have presence of well-being. So, obviously, we know medicine has its proper place. We're not the weirdos that stay away from it completely. But yet, we also take all things in balance. And we recognize what's important. You know, at least the very minimum, one ought to be employing the spiritual principles in regards to their lives in addition to, you know, whatever doctors might be dishing out to them. Okay, the adjusted believer takes great pleasure in the execution of God's justice. To experience pleasure in life. For the positive adjusted believer, some of that pleasure comes from seeing God's righteousness vindicated in terms of justice, etc. Proverbs 21:15. The execution of justice is joy for the righteous. Doesn't mean that they act like idiots and cheer the suffering, persecution, even of the evil. They take within as a proper frame of reference, proper place. But they recognize, first and foremost, that this is God's justice being executed and carried out in regards to certain criminal activity and things of this nature. And you have inner joy to see the vindication of Bible doctrine at this level in society. Obviously, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of avenues to find this joy in our society anymore. But it's terror to the workers of iniquity. Yeah, you're going to have people on the left over there fighting against the death penalty and these things because they're terrorized in regards to, because if they get caught in their own pursuits and agendas, it could mean, you know, the big one for them. So the adjusted believer, again, takes great pleasure in the execution of God's justice. L, when we are confronted with testing, we are commanded to reflect upon every happiness in the Christian way of life. It's like bad things happening and then turn on a really funny comedy show and lose yourself in the comedy for a while. You leave the misery, the soul misery, emotional misery that you're experiencing, at least temporarily. Well, for the Christian way of life, we are to draw upon this ammunition to defend ourselves in regards to living in an oppressive world run by Satan himself. James 1:2. James encourages us to do so. He says, consider it every joy, my brothers, when you encounter various tests. And obviously, when we went through that, we read out all the benefits and aspects in regards to that test as it's so intended in our own spiritual matriculation and advancement. Consider it all joy. No matter how much it may hurt otherwise. Almost a paradox. And the goal set forth by God for the believer in time is to enjoy full joy. That's the objective. You want to set a goal in life? To be successful in life? Try this one on for size. Seek to enjoy maximum happiness and joy from God. So, one, in the church age dispensation, the administration of God's plan at a given point in time in history, today known as the church age, plus age, continuing point one, is related to the relationship between right pastor and right congregation and the principle of face-to-face teaching. That inner happiness finds its bond, its availability, its source, its presence, and its execution in orientation to NPR, if you will. The First Thessalonians 2:19-20. For who is our hope or joy or wreath of exaltation? Exaltation looks at a magnified expression of joy. It becomes overt. It can't be hidden. Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus that is coming? For you are our glory and joy. Paul, in regards to, in company, in regards to the positive volition that congregated there at Thessalonica and their orientation to Bible doctrine is the fruits of the labor of Paul's ministry there before his eyes, and it brings him much joy. Nothing can tickle you more sometimes than watching positive volition all of a sudden getting it. All of a sudden they get it. You know? And how God can bring about positive volition from all different kinds of walks of life and in different aspects of life. Heard quite an amazing story when I was in Oklahoma City in that vein. There's others to be told, but obviously anyone is good. It doesn't have to be spectacular or out of the norm otherwise. 1 John 1, 3 and 4. The Apostle John and his fellow apostles were eyewitnesses to the incarnation, to the person of Jesus Christ, to the very Word who had no beginning, but then began. What was from the beginning, what we have heard from eternity past, what we have seen with our eyes, what we beheld and our hands handled concerning the Word of life. Verse 1. It's the Word of life. See, it's a way of life. Bible doctrine is. Christians have turned it into some type of religious exercise. It is a way of life. There are certain, if you will, religious aspects that we attach to it. I don't deny that. But it is an open book test in regards to life. It is to permeate our very thinking, our very actions, our very words. And the life is manifested, verse 2. And we have seen and bear witness and claim to you the eternal life which was with the Father was manifested to us. And bear witness to others what they had in eyewitness, what we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you. In their witness, that you also may have fellowship with us. Indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So there is a point-blank statement that says fellowship with God in time. The entire Godhead essentially is part of that fellowship made possible through God the Holy Spirit. Verse 4, and these things we write, the recording of the truth of doctrine in this epistle, which now has become part of the canon of Scripture. He gives the reason and the purpose for it so that our joy may be made complete for those others who are so positive, willing to observe and adhere to the witness that they pass on, that they were eyewitnesses of, and orient to that. And that brings joy to them. It's like the chain of events of the truth being passed down from hand to hand, generation to generation in history. And those who are there and responsible to communicate that truth to others, and they see others get on the bandwagon and carry it forward and carry the torch forward in regards to their own lives, it brings you joy as a communicator, see, in that respect. So, too, the proper function of prayer contributes to the concept of full joy. John 16, 24. The prayer promise, verse 23, in that day you will ask me no question. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you will ask the Father for anything, He'll give it to you in my name. Of course, the idiots love to rinse that out of context. That is understood in terms of the scope of the truth of Bible doctrine and God's will for one's life as it impacts one spiritually. Until now, you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be made full. All the spiritual operating assets and other things necessary, living grace, etc., necessary for one to experience the Christian walk, the Christian way of life at its maximum advantage before God. And Jesus made all this possible for us. So prayer, obviously, is key in regards to experiencing full joy. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to light us these things. In Jesus' name, amen.